Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you, the Caps fan, live from getting colder by the minute, Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me as always to speak with you about the week that was in Caps hockey, both on and off the ice. The one and only Mermaid, live also from Centerville, Virginia, Anna Knox.
Yes. Greetings to you, Gil, almost birthday boy.
Yeah. Would have been nice if birthday boy had an early present from last night, but neither here nor there.
I don't jump out of cakes anymore, so I'm sorry to disappoint.
Well, it would have been nice. Probably been a visual that I probably never, ever, ever would
want to see
cleanse out of my head for the rest of my natural life.
I don't know if I take that as a compliment or an insult. It's all good. It's, you know, yeah, we'll talk about this, but I really do hope you have an awesome birthday tomorrow. I'm big on birthday celebrations.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And of course you have, lest we forget, one of your own coming up in less than a month's time.
Yes, March 10th.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the old calendar. What will we be doing then? March 10th. Okay. So that's a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Yeah. It's a little too far ahead for a game preview, but we got a game, I think the night before. On the road.
Usually the Jets. I don't know if that's. I haven't looked.
They're a little bit closer on the radar. We'll talk about that when we get towards the end here. But before we get to the week that was, favor I promised old buddy of mine, the guy that does the theme for the show.
Yeah.
Those of you who enjoy it need to give that sucker a name. I need to talk to Joe and ask him what he calls that. But that's of course,
what he calls the intro or what he calls himself,
the intro. Well, he calls himself Slowy Joey.
Oh, I like that.
That's his stage name.
That's good times. All right.
But, my buddy Joe McAllister, I work with, he wails on the guitar in the intro and the outro. And he asked me, cause he's a big fan of this movie series to present this story a couple weeks ago. We had so much to cover. It being a light week, got a little extra time, so just going to get into it now. And unfortunately, we had the story, it was actually a couple weeks ago, about the actor Sean Weiss from the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yes.
Who was arrested for, I think, vagrancy or robbery or something like that. And is real, real sad. And because I came to find out, so Joe messages me on our work chat room. He says, yeah, did you hear about Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks? I said, yeah, he got himself in trouble with the law like a year and a half ago. He's like, no. Read this link. He sends me a link. It's like, this happened like that day.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, whoa. And then, of course, they showed his mugshot. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, your mugshot should never look good, but there's a couple people out there that you're like, that kind of goes down as one of the worst. And I will say, I did read the article. But when I saw the mugshot, my heart just broke, because you're just like, that's addiction at its worst.
Terrible, terrible. What
truly is.
I mean, it's funny in a way, but it's not really all that funny when you think about it.
Absolutely.
You look at his mugshot and you compare it to, Goldberg, of course, if you haven't seen the movie, well, if you are familiar with the movie, was, kind of the chubby goalie, kid.
Right.
You know, and
Which, you know what, is it really fair to compare?
No, it's
you
not.
You know, like I'm when he looked saying, like in the movie to now, but
I get that,
his is extreme.
Exactly. That's the exact word I was going to use. It, if you think about it, he went from that to the extreme that he is now. Yeah. And if anybody asks, I can repost the link. But yeah, he got himself into some trouble again. And he really, really could use some cleaning up in his life. And so, yeah.
He needs some good vibes.
He needs some good vibes for sure. And you know, not non-caps, I get that. But yeah, I mean, thought we'd get it out there because after all, it's a popular movie. It's about hockey, so.
Yeah, come on. It's a class. I'm not going to say it's a classic, but it kind of is. You know, there are other ones that I think are better, but, you know, it's okay. This one was it was good.
Yeah, so shout out to old Joe for pointing that out. And like I said, meant to bring that up when it happened a couple weeks ago, but we just had so much to cover with the downturn in play, the losing streak, and the goalie controversy and all that. And it's just, I don't know.
Man.
But we got it out there. We got it out
we
there.
We did.
Okay, so one other thing I want to go over before we cover the week that was. Look, mm-hmm. I'm not here to lecture anybody, but
uh-oh.
I'm a little tired of the infighting amongst us Caps fans. And I will say it again. We're not here to browbeat or overly berate the team. We do it because we care. We're not here to make, kick somebody when they're down. You know, we're a championship caliber team now. We've been there. We've done that. And so I just want to put it out there that we do it because we care. We criticize because we care. And above all, because we know they can play a lot better.
Right.
So that's why we do it. We don't do it to get, 15 minutes of fame or anything like that. You know, to get recognition, we do it as a critique of the team. And here's how they can play better. We're not down on this team at all. I still think, even though others are starting to catch up, they've got a good chance to, at the very least, win the division. And right. Even if they don't win the division, so what? As long as they make one of the top three slots. Well, preferably the top two, so they'll have home ice. But this is a very good team that has a legit shot at winning it all this year. And I want to see them. I just want to see them start playing like it.
Right.
And that's all we're doing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing a ton of negative. Banter, I guess, is the best way, with other Caps groups, fans, and Facebook page things and whatever. Not so much seeing it on our end, but I don't know, maybe I'm not paying attention to it enough, but it's true. It's like, you can get frustrated because you love the team. You can get annoyed with certain decisions because you love the team. It's like there's no, we're not in the, toss this person, bench this person, trade this person, whatever. So I think that, we don't need to justify anything other than the fact that, it's a long season. There's a shit ton of games and there's going to be a, up and down. It's like if we literally sat here and spoke on a podcast of an 82 season game or however many games the Caps do, and they won every single game, how boring would that be? Like, let's be honest.
Very, very true. Very
so,
true.
But it would be like, hey, we won again. Would it be, it's never going to happen. So you have these, it is what it is. So I think that we've handled it well. I think we were more animated and frustrated last week for obvious reasons. But in the end, all we care about is the Capitals and, them kicking ass and getting back to what we've seen at the beginning of the season, not going back to what we saw in 2018, because I don't think that's fair.
Right. No, that's all I'm saying. I think that's all we're saying here is that we know they can do better And look, overall, I don't have a problem if they happen to lose to whoever is the better team, you know, that night or that game.
But just not the Vegas Knights tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully not.
But I hate that team.
That's all I'm saying. As all I want them to do is just at least put out the effort. And if it's not enough, they run into a better team, what have you, that's fine.
Right.
Like you said, Anna, you're not going to win all 82 games. And even if they did, you know, would you really want that?
Right.
Going into the playoffs without facing any adversity? No, I wouldn't.
No, not at all.
All right. So leading into what we're about to talk about, my concern overall was the effort, or at least the optics, what they looked like as far as a championship caliber team. I think this week they looked like at least a team that should contend for a title.
Agreed.
Well, all right, put it this way. They look more like a team that has Stanley Cup
potential
and aspirations, however you want to put it.
Yep.
So, yes. But it didn't start off that way, at least not in the first period of the first game, which was on a Monday, and that was against the Islanders at home.
Right.
Okay, so quick revamp of the scoring summary. First period, some guy named Anthony Beauvillier, right from the get-go, or almost right from the get-go, 3 minutes apart, 3:30 and 6:16 in the first period.
Wow. Is that really how you say his name?
Beauvillier, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I looked at his name. I thought maybe he was related to Priscilla Presley, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. It seems like it needs a little bit more of a French accent to it, like Beauvillier or something.
It's Beauvillier.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I took French in high school. Come on. So like,
I took 5 years of French in high school and college.
Well, I took French honors in high school.
Okay. Well, all right. So it's not a contest. It's not a contest.
Could be,
and
though,
you know, I know how to parlay that vu. Okay. Okay. Anyway. So, Beauvillier.
There you go. That sounded awesome.
Yeah. He gets those first two goals. And of course, I don't know about you, but I was, because you were actually recording Sports on the Hill at the same time.
Right.
So I don't know if you actually saw it live, but I was like,
I do. I actually, because I call in, I am watching it live, although my TV has like a 20-second delay. So if I hear that Robbie and Carol will be like, oh, and you know, whatever, I'm like, wait a second. But yes, I'm sorry. So yes, I did watch it, and I was watching it as I was recording, but I did see this one.
Yeah, and so the first one in particular, defense didn't look like they knew what exactly they, you know, to handle this. So the first pass, it wasn't even the first pass, it was the first action. Bailey walks around Siegenthaler, Brock Nelson walks around Siegenthaler, drops it for Bailey, who slides it over to an open Beauvillier in the right circle, who slams it home over Samsonov's glove for the opener.
Right.
And on the second goal,
mind you, is less than 3 minutes later.
So, okay. So I'm watching the replay. There's a scrum in the corner. Brock Nelson is wide open in the high slot, slams it in front. There's another point shot, and they just converge on Samsonov. He gets absolutely no help. The D is just standing there.
Yep.
Sound familiar? So
I just want to go. I just want to go back to Brock Nelson. That's like an uber poor name, Brock Nelson. Anyways, I'm sorry. It's Sunday. I've been by myself for a couple of days because my family's gone. So, yeah. But Brock Nelson. I mean, come on now. Anywho, yes, going on. no one was helping Sammy.
You are like what is it where
manic?
No. What is it where you there's a condition where the rails are so warped that they're no longer serve as train tracks, and you so the train gets derailed. You are that to anyone's line of thought. That's what you are. That is what you are.
But I'm so fun to be around.
So you say. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So no, I did. But Brock Nelson. I mean, come on, Pornhub.
Yeah. I get that.
But I appreciate. So yeah, Bailey, Samsonov. I'm gonna ride this wave of you commentating the game. So go ahead.
So right. So Beauvillier gets his 17th on that one, and Bailey and Nelson on the assist there. And yeah, like I said, the D was standing around. Your boy Tommy Wilson was on the ice for that as well, and he was kind of chasing the play. Yeah. So I don't know. A little disorganization there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so not good. And then about 6.5 minutes later, John Carlson gets his 15th on a slapper to make it 2-1. So a little bit of hope at the towards the end of the first. And then our friend Devon Taves, 6 minutes later, no, 5 minutes later, sure. Actually, makes it 3-1 Islanders. Bailey again on the assist. With a guy named Pulak. You talk about, well, I don't know if this is that's a porn name, but Pulak.
No, Brock Nelson really has that, like.
Okay, so if Brock Nelson is a porn name, what kind of name is Pulak?
It's just wrong.
Yeah, I would say.
It's just
it's Tug Nut and Pit Lick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's okay. You know, Dick Butkus.
Disagree to agree. Okay. All right. So on to the second period, and hoping it was going to get better. It did not. 45 seconds. I say again, 45 seconds into said second period, Leo Komarov gets his second of the year, assisted by who? Brock Nelson again, mm-hmm. and Nick Leddy on a slapper. Let's go to the replay on that. Nice little wrister on that. So as soon as the ad decides to stop playing, I will give you.
But we don't need
the commentary.
We don't.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right. Well, all right. Long story short, fourth goal of the game, and yeah, not good. All right, so lots of lazy play, blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes later, Jordan Eberle gets his 9th, Anders Lee and Matthew Barzal on the assist, making it 5-1. Islanders.
Pathetic.
And let's see, I'm trying to recall, did they pull Samsonov at the end of the second period or after that fifth goal?
I believe it was after the fifth goal.
I think it was too. I want to make sure,
but
I got that right. But it was, yeah, that sounds
a little
right.
Too late, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, to be honest.
Well, he looked like he was in his defense. I don't know. I think maybe one of them, maybe the Devon Taves goal, maybe he could have had back. But mm-hmm. the others, the first two for sure, the openers for sure, he was, yeah. I mean, it was appropriate that he was playing the Islanders because he was left out on a island. By his own defense. Again, sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? It should.
But here's the thing, since I can go on my tangent. Is that when we talk about the frustration when Holpe is goalie for the night And we're sitting there saying, oh my God, defense wasn't there and everyone falls, and they don't do anything. But when Sammy's in the net, everyone tightens up and comes together. This is a perfect example of no, that's not happening. And now we really need to step back and say, okay, this has nothing to do, with the goalies. This has got to do with what the fuck is going on in the ice? What's the shakeup on the defensive end that has everyone, kind of shaking their heads? So,
which is exactly what you and I were yelling about last week.
Yes, we were. We were.
And yeah, you're right. Here in this case, didn't Reardon call a timeout and scream his head off again? Didn't it happen this game?
No, yep. The game.
That wasn't this game?
No, it was before because I was like.
Oh, that was. Okay. Yeah. Looking on schedule here. That was the Philly game. That's right. That was the Philly game where they got really blown out. Okay. And, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he just totally lost his shit. Rightfully so. I mean, we needed. I think, as in defense of Todd Reardon, I would rather see him lose his shit and raise his voice and obviously look just beyond annoyed then when it happens, which isn't all that often. I appreciate the coaching staff. What I don't want to see is I just don't need a hot head coach. It's their heads could explode at every single game. That's the kind of coaching that I just don't care for.
Right. I get that. So you want it right. You want to, as the head coach, you want to look like you are calm and in control.
Yes.
And then
lose your shit when needed.
Right. Don't lose it unless you have a reason to. Not every hill is worth dying on, not worth giving yourself a heart attack on the bench just because, a play goes wrong or a call goes wrong or something like that. So
yeah,
I get that. But I think, not at least all of last year, I don't think we saw anything like that from Reardon until now. And I think, now is a good time to say, hey, stop playing like this. Do what is necessary. Sometimes, look, nobody likes to yell. Nobody likes to be mean. But sometimes you have very little time to communicate very important information. And sometimes you have to get it out there and have it done in one take so that they understand the first time it is said. So, I mean, those of you out there who might be on the other side of that. Hey, this person's yelling at me. There might be a reason. They may not do it because they don't like you. They do it because they want to make sure it comes across the first time because they don't always have time to repeat themselves.
Exactly. I agree.
So, all right. So whatever happened there with the fifth goal, it kind of sort of woke them up, at least for a little while, in the second. Because 49 seconds later, Lars Eller got his 14th. I tell you that third line, and it was Eller himself would be promoted, but not just because of his play, but the third and fourth line, they've really shown us something here. So got to say that. So he gets his 14th. Haglund and Kempney on the assist with that makes it 5-2, and then looks like. 4.5 minutes later, no, 5.5 minutes later, just a tick under 17 minutes into the second, TJ Oshie with his 21st hits the blackjack on the power play, no less, making it 5-3 Islanders. Shut my mouth. He's proven to, he's always been on the first unit, hasn't he? First power play unit? No?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So that's continuing to work out. And so we thought, okay, well, let's hang on here. Maybe there's going to be a comeback, and not to be.
No. Too little, too late.
Too little, too late. And yeah, exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. Taking a look at the vitals, Caps actually out hit the Islanders, but I think most of that did not come out until the wake up call when Samsonov unfortunately got pulled. I don't know about you, but I felt bad for him. I really did.
I did too.
He looked like he let the team down.
Well, and I said a while ago, one of the things that I you know, admire about Sammy is he has that intensity, but I also think that he, you know, he has so much, invested in this team, that when something doesn't go right, you know, a goal happens or, you know, say something he couldn't do or wasn't, you know, it went over, you know, whatever happens, he takes that shit hard. And do you want to say like, oh, is that, you know, eventually is that going to be a problem? Is that going to get into a bad headspace or whatever? I don't know. But right now I appreciate the fact that, you know, he comes off the, you know, off the ice, like tail between legs, like, fuck, I can't believe this. How, like, he takes it personally. And I admire that because that is just like pure dedication. And I think that, but I will say, no, I'm not going to jump ahead. I think he'll just get more motivated to do that much better, but he cannot do it alone. Same thing with Braden Holtby.
Right. No. And so two quick points I want to make about that, because especially since, well, a lot of you out there, you the Caps fan, like to make a lot about the goalies. Mm-hmm. Okay, so two points I want to make here. Look, you especially, who, if you're still listening, I don't know why, because we're never ever going to say trade Holtby now.
Right.
But you out there who may be listening, who are of that mentality that the management should get rid of him now, free up cap space, get something in return maybe. No, this is exactly why, if he's not starting, you keep him. Because who's the first person besides the goalie coach that Samsonov's going to go to? Right. Who's the first person that's going to – forget that. Who's the first person that's going to go up to him on the ice and say, hey, kid, this is what happens when you lose. This is what happens. This is how it feels when you do what you can and it just ain't good enough sometimes. This is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And this is how you're going to have to deal with it. And it's going to come again and again and again. So you're just going to have to write it. But this is how you got to deal with it. And you're going to have to deal with it. And who better to teach him how to deal with it? Yeah. Than a guy who's been there, like Holtby. Second point, and this goes right along with what you just said. The mental compete level that Samsonov have, off the charts, absolutely amazing. Love that he takes it to heart. Mm-hmm. So my problem, or my concern rather, is it's going to go one or two ways. It's going to go yin or yang. The good side is, and they said this about Dominic Hasek. You don't know that name, look it up. But one of the greats in great goalies as far as contemporary. I think the last goalie to win the Hart Trophy. The most valuable player to his team. NHL's version of it anyway. But I digress. That is the mentality he carried to every game. He took it personally. He acted like he was not protecting a goal cage, but he was trying to keep the puck out so that it wouldn't hit his family guarding behind him. That's how he played the game. He did absolutely anything he could to stop the puck. And that, I see that mentality in Samsonov, and that kind of intensity, like I said, it's going to go one of two ways. He's either going to be driven insane by it, or it's going to exponentially lift him to greatness. It's going to be one or the other. So that's my concern with it. Right now, I would say he's headed for the good side of that. If he can learn to control that, and again, goes back to having a mentor like Holtby, who has learned how to keep that in check, how to deal with it, how not to let that raging fire within not flame out, not overflow, not get out of control. So 2 points about goalie mentality that I wanted to put out there, because as you have so many times, and rightly so, pointed out, a lot of the game for an NHL goalie is inside of their head.
Yeah.
And if they're not right there, they're not going to get it right on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, all right. So turning the page on that game onto the Western road trip, the beginning of it. The first of the three games, they've played two of them so far, was out in Colorado. And it looked somewhat like more of the same in the beginning, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and get to the scoring summary. 2:54 in. Who should score but our old friend Andrei Burakovsky with his 18th? And look, say what you want about him. It was a beautiful play from start to finish. Not so much by the Caps defense, but beautiful on the Colorado offense. So let's break it down here. All right, going to the replay. Okay, so MacKinnon carries the puck over the blue line. John Carlson, I don't know what he was doing here, honestly. He looked like he was giving him a half-hearted cross-check that ends up breaking his stick. So he's stickless. I said stickless. And so John Carlson is rendered, you know, I'm digging a hole here, but impotent as far as, you know, you can take it, because he's got no stick. And so he's out of the play for all intents and purposes. That allows MacKinnon to dangle around him. And then Kempney, oh boy, I wish they would stop doing this, but Kempney does an ad for Mattress Discounters and falls down, kisses the ice, sweeps his stick around, does that effort to try and get the puck away from MacKinnon. And of course, that's not going to work against a world-class artist like MacKinnon. So MacKinnon sauces it over to a waiting Burakovsky, who is over at the right post, and he slides it home for the first goal of the game.
Yes.
Great on Burakovsky. Love that he's having success there. Like I said, his 18th of the year already. Pretty sure that's a career high.
Yes, it is.
Nathan MacKinnon, great play, started by Kamenev as well on that. So already 1-0, 3 minutes in. Okay, so it's ring around the rosy some more for most of the rest of the period. Then 16:05, Avalanche go on a power play. And it's Burakovsky and MacKinnon again who team up to help out Mikko Rantanen, who's having a pretty good season of his own with his 19th, and it's 2-0. That one's a blistering. Okay, so the description on the replay says Rantanen's blistering PPG. So let's take a look here. And yeah, that's pretty much what he did. He goes to the right circle, takes a few steps, and just absolutely rips the wrist shot past Holtby. Let's double check here. I don't think Holtby was playing too shallow, but maybe a little bit. Okay, so he's got it at the dot here. Maybe have the glove hand a bit low if you want to uber critique it, but I don't think there was much else he could have done. So 2-0 by the end of the first. And then the Caps start waking up. And so, Anna, this was the game, before I ramble on some more, Anna, this was the game out of the two later in the week that you actually saw. What did you think heading into the second?
I will say that this is one of those games that as soon as the puck dropped, I was like, holy shit, there's like no joke going on here. Like, we're not gonna build up to the 60 minutes that Colorado came out ready. And I found this to be a very fast, not so physical, but very fast and smart hockey on their end.
Oh, yes.
And I think it took the Capitals, like you said, that first 20 minutes to be like, oh, shit. I don't know. They're just a team that is just really hot this year. And I feel like they're damn good. And so I was like, okay, from the moment the puck dropped first period, I was like, all right, you know what? Shake it off. And I even think I put that on power play. Like, you know, like we've got this, boys, like settle down. It's okay. Cause sometimes I feel like we're like scrambling and it's like really impulsive and it's sloppy. And it's like tighten up and focus. Cause you know what you need to do. And second and third period definitely prove that. And you know what? And this was one of the most impressive Holtby games. I mean, this was like, there were a couple of saves that he did that I was like, holy shit, how'd he do that? Like, and then you're like, of course, but it's number 70. Like, you couldn't expect anything else. But it was like awesome to see that skill, just come about after all this bullshit on social media about, you know, hit, trade him and this and that. It's like, fuck no. Like, look at what he's doing.
Yeah, this was more the Holtby that I think everybody's gotten used to.
I agree.
As far as lifting a team and carrying them and keeping them in the game.
Yes.
That is what people have come to expect. And this was more, this game, pardon me, was more what he's capable of. Wasn't perfect, but it was a lot closer to the bullseye that most Caps fans have come to expect. So just before we resume the scoring summary, I'm pretty sure this was the game where in between the first and the second period, Nick Backstrom, who's not known for this, stood up and gave some sort of a verbal arse-kicking to the team in the locker room. And so good on him for doing that, but good on him also for backing it up.
Yeah.
Because 11:37 into the second, on the power play, he would crash the net and tip in a shot for a goal, and he was the one who was high stick that drew the penalty. Right. So you got a guy who talks it and then goes out and does it on the ice. So that brings them in 2-1. And of course, in between, as you mentioned, Holtby goes into his act and makes save after save and keeps them in it. A lot of high danger. I was looking over the replay because, again, I missed it. I couldn't watch it because it was so doggone late. Mm-hmm. So I watched the game summary and the highlights, and lots of high danger point blank chances that he had to fend off.
Yeah. And he was on it. I mean, he truly, this was, you know, watching this, I feel like this was the tightest, the most focused, the most skilled we've seen him in a while, but I'm not complaining about his other games. I'm just saying that this truly was like, there he is. Like, there are those impossible saves that are just so impressive. And so yeah. And man, Nick Backstrom, ugh. I love the fact that the players talk about the fact that he did talk to them, and it wasn't some, like, you know, out of control hothead, you know, like, I feel like a Garnet Hathaway would like lose his shit if he had to like be in the locker room and be like, hey, motivate your players. Here's someone that everyone respects. He doesn't usually say a whole lot, you know, but he's so respected and admired on the ice and as a player. And when he finally says, like, enough's enough, get your shit together, they listen. And like, how could you not? So I appreciate the fact that it's him and it's not coming from Ovechkin, because there's been so much obsession over 698, he's just lingering, will he get it? Matt, shut up. stop talking about it. But I appreciate Backstrom. Fuck yeah. Kudos to that for what he did. And then how they came out in the game was awesome. I wish you would have seen it because last night's game sucked.
Yeah. Agreed. 100%. So moving on to the third period, took a while, but the Caps finally tie it. And who should ride to the rescue? But somebody who desperately needed to get back on the score sheet. Those are two words you don't put in the same sentence very often. Tom Wilson and desperate. Right?
No comment.
Unless he plays desperate hockey, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Can be a good thing. Anyway,
he needed this.
Yes, he did. On the power play, 12:48 in the third. So he ties it. So things are rather intense from then on. Edge of your seat type of play. And then 17:56 into the third, TJ Oshie gets his 22nd, assisted by Nick Jensen. I got to admit, he probably had one of his better games. I think he did.
I'm just kidding about the who.
Yeah. And Lars Eller, another point blank, tip in, in fact, I think this one, if I'm not mistaken, he deflected as either Wilson. Yes. It's a redirect goal. Oshie was in front of the net, right place, right time. So was Wilson, for that matter. And by the way,
you've always said.
Not just me. I was actually going to give credit to one of our loyal listeners, Bernie Deal. He was one of the guys first posting it in our room and other rooms, True Caps and other rooms. And look, you got a big body like Wilson. He's got a good pair of hands. Put him in front of the net more often. Let pucks go off of him. Let him wave his stick at it. And let's see what happens. And when you do, you get this.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, put him on the power play. Let him do his damage in front of the net. So we'd love to see more of that. That's what a guy like him was built for. Just saying. Oshie gets his 22nd, 2 minutes left. They managed to hang on and win it 3-2. That was a really intense game, by far easily the best, and in a way, easily the best game they had this week. Shots on goal, 38 for the good guys, 34 for the Avalanche, which means Holtby saved 32. And again, a lot of them were of, as Joe Beninati would say, were of the high danger point blank variety.
Right.
So quantity and quality. Another horrific faceoff dot performance. 61.4 for the bad, 38.6 for the other red, white, and blue team. But they made it not count against them as bad, thank goodness. 2 for 5 on the power play, always good to see. Gave up one power play on their own, power play goal. Hits, they doubled them up. Colorado, not a very physical team anyway. Not overly so. They're not weak, but they're not overly so. So I don't know. It took a while for them to get into it, but ended up doubling them up, as I said. So all in all, very good game. And of course, when it came to the three stars, they made Oshie number one. Okay, so this was my head scratcher. Oshie number one, Burakovsky number two. Some would say he belongs in number two. And of course, Tommy Wilson, the number three star. No Braden Holtby.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
I understand that, and not at all. I understand those three, but no Braden Holtby?
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't get that at all. But moving on to the last game of the week, which was last night in Arizona. My buddy Pete Fisher, one of our listeners, Robin J. King, both in attendance at the Gila River Arena. Yeah, this was the game I managed to catch, and boy, I kind of wish I didn't, because this was at times very hard to sit through. Mm-hmm. And I just, I kind of bore through it, and I was looking and
yeah, I'm glad I heard something. Oh, hey now. If that's how you sleep, that would drive me crazy. All right.
What?
Major point.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah, that awful game last night. Okay, so first period, no goals. What a surprise. Oh, boy.
Is it even worth talking about?
Well, it is. We'll just briefly go over the scoring summary. Okay. Dvorak, his 18th for the Yotes, 7:06 into the second. That opens the scoring in the second. And Carl Hagelin with his fifth, Travis Boyd. And Ponick on the assist. Again, third and fourth line, getting it done, ties the game. And who should get what turns out to be the game winner but our old friend who loves hot dogs so much?
No. Fucking Kessel.
One of Anna's favorites.
No.
And if she's ever in the water and sees Kessel ride by in a boat, she'll flip her tail at him and splash him very roughly. I'm sure. But yeah, Kessel gets his 13th on the power play, making it 2-1, and they never look back. And Caps had their chances. I'll be honest with you. I think it was just hot goalie syndrome, because Antti Raanta. Not his uncle, but Antti Raanta, stopped 36 of 37. Yeah. And a lot of them weren't, were not exactly garden variety. They were in close,
right,
point blank chances that, maybe were of the snake bit variety, wish I had that back type of thing, but he stopped them to his credit. So, This may end up being one of those, they made the effort, but they didn't get the result. So you draw a line through it, and it's not, it's not really an aberration. At least they came with it. They tried. I don't think they were really outplayed that badly, or they were flat footed, and it was just a case of horrible defense, anything like that. This looked more to me like, hot goalie, better overall defensive scheme, although 37 shots, you get 37 shots. Or how much defense can you be playing if you give up 37 shots? So,
but I was kind of surprised I didn't put Sammy in for this game. And I understand, I totally missed a big old misspell on my post last night while I was in deep conversation with my friends about our book club. No drinking involved. Just kidding. When I was like, hang out, like,
and what happens in Vegas stays. Oh, we're not there yet. Sorry.
Kinda I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, it was 5.5 hours of good times last night. So, okay. But I was surprised I didn't put Sammy in. And like Christian Levesque was like, why? Like, Holtby did so great the night before, and you ride that hot hand and do this and do that. I was like, yeah. I agree, but because I guess he does better when he plays consistently. But I was really hoping, I just kind of thought that would have been a great game for Samsonov to play and then put Holtby in, go back to that June 7th, 2018, being in Vegas vibe. I think Holtby would have done fine. So now I'm a little concerned that last night's game, I guess somewhat boring, but we lost, and that's going to put him in a negative headspace when they go to Vegas tomorrow. I don't know.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think I wouldn't put the loss. I certainly wouldn't put the loss on Holtby.
No, I don't put it on him, but I'm saying when he internalizes And it is a loss, you know, after coming off this great game. And then this loss where it's like, we probably could have had Arizona. Like, come on. And then going into the Knights, it's like, I want to be sure that he's in that right headspace. But I don't know if it would have been beneficial to put Sammy in last night versus Holtby. But, you know, that's a whole other issue. So, whatever.
Well, okay. So, speaking we'll get to an in-depth preview more. But obviously, the next game is, as we've already mentioned, tomorrow night in Vegas. And Holtby is already been tapped to get the start.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading a tweet from Samantha Pell, the Washington Post beat writer.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Holtby will be in net Monday against Vegas per Reardon, who said, obviously done some special things. Okay, so the quote is, obviously done some special things in this building he has. So he's channeling his inner Yoda there.
All right.
Obviously done some special things in this building he has. Yes. Yes.
Only because your birthday
will miss
you. Only because your birthday is tomorrow, so I'm going to let the one slide.
Oh, you let it slide, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
Oh, hey now.
Zing. Okay. The things we do for
entertainment.
You people. You people. All right. So yes, that is that's the first game of this coming week. Now you'll be doing Sports on the Hill again, of course, starting at 7, or are you guys starting earlier?
Honestly, I think we're going to stick to the same schedule, and knowing that we will have been probably at that point when we go on live at 7, we will be at least probably heading into the third. So
okay, yeah. That's cool. So of course, yes, what I'm talking about is the first half hour segment of Sports on the Hill podcast, which drops every Monday evening via Facebook Live and the True Radio Network, hosted by Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross, a frequent visitor on this podcast you are listening to now, and helping things along with that first segment, which is Caps Talk, of course, is Anna Knox. Although this is your beach house, and that's your other house.
Sure, it's my trailer. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Just kidding.
Everybody, totally. So it's Sunday. So it's Mondays. God, it's 7. And we talk about Capitals going on usually 7:05. Recap the games. Talk about anything that's going on live and future games and opinions. We're not always on the same page, and that's what makes it fun. And then the Carol and Robbie add on a bunch of other callers and talk about other exciting DC sports.
Very true. Very true, Radio Network. So the rest of the week looks like this. 2 days off after that game, and then back home at Cap One for a game against Montreal, Les Canadiens, 7 o'clock puck drop. And then back on the road again for a game over to, what the hell is it? Both these games. Okay, so it's back-to-back weekend, home and road and home, over to Joysey against the Devils, who are beginning to gut themselves.
Right.
You want to read up on that, read about the deal they made. And then back home on Sunday. Okay, so that game against the Devils is a 1 o'clock puck drop. Back right. home on Sunday, back to Cap One, that's a noon puck drop against our friends, the Flightless Birds from Pittsburgh.
It's the worst.
Uh-huh. So, again, another Sunday afternoon, and I ain't not got no way to watch the game because I'll be a-working.
No.
Yeah, that's the saddest song ever. Yeah. And then the rest of that week goes like this, a home and home against the aforementioned Winnipeg Jets.
Mm.
So Cap One Tuesday night, 7 o'clock puck drop, and then up to one of the coldest places in the league.
Yes.
For an 8 o'clock puck drop there. And then we take a flying leap into March. We're not going to get into that. That's going to be a busy week. There's four games that week. We're not going to get into that. Starting to run low on time here. So just one last thing I want to mention before we wrap it up for this week. So going forward for the rest of this season, as I like to say, we like to make the Caps fan the star. Got a very, very great and enthusiastic response when we had Grant Green from the Caps fans room on. Mike Stepp, who is the lead admin of that room, has also expressed to me that he would like to come on, so plan on having him as well.
Sweet.
Yep, absolutely. And like to get our friend Josh Kirby, who had you on I think last year.
Mm-hmm. And this season too,
or earlier. Yeah. Right, this season as well. Like to get him on as well. So basically we kind of want to do a rotation, at least one, maybe two guests on, as we want to get some varying opinions about how the team is doing, especially now that games are going to get critical. And of course, next week is the trade deadline.
Right.
And the big question in Caps land is, will they or won't they, as far as pulling the trigger on certain guys with expiring contracts?
Right.
I'm looking at you, Radko Gudas. And I'm partially kidding, but you never know. There's only rumors and innuendo, but you never want to deal with innuendo unless you're a proctologist.
Or a Sim.
That too. So, but yeah, we want to get as much of our listeners' takes as possible. So you, the listener, loyal listener, Caps fan, listening out there, wherever you are, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, wherever you are in the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, or the Commonwealth of Virginia, and around the globe, of course, please, please, please give us a shout out. Give us a message. We'd love to hear from you. You want to come on, floor is yours. Like I said, we've got Grant and Mike from the Caps fans room. They're champing at the bit to come on. I'd love to hear from our other loyal listeners, folks like Lisa Desabray, Fi McKinnon, Bernie. I haven't heard from him in a while. Now, challenging all of you to come on, give all of your learned opinions, put yourselves out there, and shout it out loud how you think this team is doing and what they need to do to our listenership and beyond. Please, 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 we want to hear from you. Get involved, please. Thank you so much. So with that, unless there's anything else from you, my dear mermaid.
I do have one thing.
Excellent. Go ahead.
So since it's your birthday tomorrow.
Oh, no.
And I already talked about like the jumping out of cake thing. I'm too old for that. And it would be like sight for sore eyes. I tried truly all day today to be clever with a poem, and I just couldn't. So I thought maybe I'd just read the one I wrote you last year. Because I don't know if you remember it.
Well, I've had refried beans before, so sure.
All right. And then we'll end it on this, and you don't have to do any of the silly puns. Oh, or maybe you do. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right, because I think it still matters as this day. All right, so here we go. Roses are red, violets are blue. I bet you didn't think I would write a poem for you. Happy birthday to you, Gil. I will attempt to not be a pill. You took a chance on me, commando, as can be. We are a power play point team, just living the dream with stats and giggles and terrible puns to make my eyes wiggle. Cheers to the Cap, the team you love the most. Enjoy your day from your amusing co-host.
Still puts a smile on my face.
I really, really tried today. Like, I was like, I gotta step it up. I gotta do something. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This was the classic, and I'm just gonna do it again.
Well, creativity, as they say, can be like the proverbial glass ketchup bottle. Sometimes it don't come out at all. Sometimes it comes out in one blob.
That's true.
So
Size blob were they?
Yeah, not quite.
So anyways, have a fantastic birthday tomorrow. Another trip around the sun. You deserve it. I truly hope you enjoy your day tomorrow.
I will try. I have the full day off as I'm, as it's fortunate that it coincides with a holiday. So most definitely I will try to make the most of it.
Good. That's the spirit.
Okay. So, so with that, I think this is a good spot to wrap up the show.
Yep.
And apropos of our opponent, the Caps opponent tomorrow night, this will end on this note. So here I am, the Blue Liner on Point, reminding you that if you don't know what to call a knight who's afraid to fight, just remember, it's surrender. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.